I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Back on Conversations for Couples, the podcast, talking divorce tonight.
One of your favorite subjects.
Yeah, well, you know, you can say the house that divorce built, although it's actually the house that divorce and therapy built. So it's a little combination
correct.
Of two. But we want to talk about divorce in two parts tonight. One is the most frequent reasons that people seek divorce. We did this a couple months back, right?
We talked about therapy, what were
the frequent reasons that people seek therapy. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then there's some interesting statistics that just came out in the news over the last couple of months about divorce rates, what's going on, maybe why what's going on is going on, and so forth. So let's first talk about the reasons people seek divorce. Now, so I, as you know, have statistics.
Yeah, you love statistics.
I love statistics.
So as a non-divorce expert, which is me.
Yes.
The first thing that I always think about when people get divorced, if I wasn't schooled and married to you, I would think, oh, someone cheated on something.
Yes.
That's the first thing I would think.
Well, and that is a high reason. That 60% of the people in multiple surveys, divorced folks, indicated that infidelity was one of the reasons that they got divorced.
But it's a really small percentage, actually.
What's a really small percentage?
When people come to your office, it's a very small percentage of reasons. It's not the biggest reason.
Oh, it's not the biggest reason, but it's certainly one of the reasons, and it's certainly one of the big reasons across the board that people cheat, and the other people who get cheated on aren't particularly thrilled about it.
Really,
and that's a factor. Yes, really, unlike this show that we've been watching, we watched a few months ago. What was that show called again? It was,
I don't know what show you're talking about.
Yeah, the one with the couple that decided they weren't getting along sexually, so they should go and they should.
Wanderlust?
Wanderlust, yeah. We could talk about that too, but that was an interesting show, actually.
Yeah, we should talk about that. We'll do a podcast on Wanderlust.
We can talk about that because that's interesting. But no, so this is a situation where people have sex and their spouses are not particularly thrilled about it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, that is a reason. But there's a lot more reasons than that.
Of course there are, but we're not talking about all the reasons. We're talking about the most frequent reasons. Mm-hmm. And by the way, again, And we think you're not going to hear a lot of this, but you may hear some of it. We have a multitude of dogs in our house tonight. So they're wrestling and playing and having a good time. So if you hear a bark or two, it just means that they're not working. One of them is supposed to be getting a glass of water, but they're not doing it. So there could be a little bit of dog noise in the background. But so what I'm saying to you is, you know, yeah, there's lots of other reasons, just like there's lots of reasons people come to therapy, but there are more frequent reasons and infidelity happens to be one of those more frequent reasons, which, by the way, is number two on the list. So you've identified number two. You have, and I only went to four. So we have one, three, and four that you still have to pluck up.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And hit me with something else.
Sex.
Certainly sex is part of it. Certainly a lack of sex is, but it didn't make one of the top four. Now, I guess one could say that it does find its way into the number one reason. Which is lack of commitment.
Oh, lack of commitment.
So the number one reason that people, one of the main reasons that people seek divorce is lack of commitment.
Okay.
And I suppose that the lack of sexual relations or intimacy could go, you know, be built into that particular category, right?
Okay.
But there's a lot more in there.
Yeah. Money is probably on your list.
No. Before you're jumping ahead. Now, let me rope you back. Let's talk about this lack of commitment for just a second, right? So 75, three out of four people who get divorced say that one of the main reasons they're getting divorced is because their spouse wasn't committed enough to the relationship.
Okay. So sort of like not interested or out of the relationship or didn't care.
Well, I don't know. I don't know exactly what it means unless I look at all the sub information, but let's talk about it. Because when you say lack of commitment, that covers a lot of stuff.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And then you think of people that are in relationships. Relationships are all about commitment. So that's a problem.
Yeah, commitment on a number of levels and on a number of topics. So commitment, certainly from an intimacy standpoint, commitment from a parenting perspective, commitment from being on the same page in terms of finances. Mm-hmm. It covers a huge category, which is why it's probably number one on the list.
Yeah, it's right? 75%.
75%. Of the people getting divorced say lack of commitment
was
a main reason of their getting separated and divorced. Mm-hmm. The fourth reason on the list, which I'm glad it's only the fourth, but not glad it's that high, is domestic abuse.
Oh.
And that covers both physical and emotional abuse. Emotional abuse is a little grayer area, obviously, than physical abuse, but you know, it's
just as harmful.
Just as harmful.
Just as harmful.
In a lot of ways, just as harmful.
Yeah, maybe even more.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And number three is excessive conflict.
Okay.
Just not getting along.
Just fighting a lot.
We just don't get along. We fight. We don't get along. We can't do this together. We can't do that together. Mm-hmm. There's constant conflict. Right. Does any of this surprise you?
Not really. I mean, being married to you, I've experienced most. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean.
Which ones have you experienced?
Lack of commitment the other night. You were watching the Maryland basketball playing, ignoring me. That was lack of commitment.
You're mentally ill.
Okay, we need to go to disclaimers right now because we're joking.
We're joking. It's mostly entertainment, some education built in, but this is mostly designed to be entertainment. Whether we make that goal or not, I'm not sure. But no, we don't know what you're talking about. We've had conflict for sure, excessive, maybe at times, but not over the period of our marriage.
Yeah.
And we haven't had any of the other issues.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. We've been very lucky.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Now the other thing that's interesting that I read about, which I think you might find interesting, is that more than 2/3 of men and more than 3/4 of women felt that their partner should have tried harder to keep the relationship together. Mm-hmm. Not that they should have tried harder, but that their partner should have tried harder.
Interesting.
So that raised a couple of questions for me, which is, are these people being honest with themselves?
Right. Are they not looking at themselves? Or are they just blaming the partner?
Yeah. They just blame, we always say, there's black and there's white and there's something in between.
Well, I always say there's no angels and there's no devils.
That's
even better.
That's even better.
There's no yeah. True. I mean, relationships are two people and it takes two to tango.
It's funny because back when I first started doing divorce work, why people broke up mattered. In terms of what might happen in a divorce case, whether it was money, alimony, or sometimes even custody issues, what happened, why the marriage broke up, the reasons for the marriage were often relevant. And one of the first things I learned from a lawyer, very, very intelligent, bright guy named Steve Friedman, one of the questions he always asked people were, tell me why you broke up. What were the problems? Mm-hmm. And then the person would inevitably go on and on and on for however long Steve would let them talk, which was as long as they wanted to talk, because people who talk a lot tend to talk too much in the divorce lawyer world. So then he would say at the end, he would say, tell me all of the things that you think you did wrong.
Mm.
What blame, what if anything did you do wrong?
Powerful.
Tell me what and oftentimes, interestingly enough, a lot of people would say, I don't know.
Nothing. I didn't do anything wrong.
It wasn't me.
Yeah.
Wasn't me or nothing. And I think that, that's an unfortunate aspect of human nature. Mm-hmm. And you talk about this a lot in communication issues and questions about, perspective, perspective taking.
Well, and it also takes a certain amount of ego strength and confidence to admit your part in wrongdoing. And a lot of people don't have that. That's where blame really comes through. And it's easier to blame somebody else because then you don't have to feel bad about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, it's interesting. And so that dovetails into this is what I want to tell you about. And you probably don't know this, but just recently in 2023, there was a series of surveys that had been done. And if you've listened to me enough, you know that I always say, you know, one out of every two marriages ends in divorce. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what?
What?
It's not the case anymore.
Ooh.
Less than 50% of the marriages end
That's
in divorce.
That's good.
But a lot less people are getting married.
Oh, okay.
Okay, a lot less people are getting married. So here I go back to my statistics for a second. I wrote them down.
You did.
So you're going to see me reading just a little bit. I try not to read any stuff when we do this. But in the year 2000, 24 years ago, 4% of every 1,000 people, adults in the population in the U.S. were married. 2.5% in 2023. Are married, went from 4% to 2.5%, almost cut in half.
Wow.
Right? In those days, 8.2%, I'm sorry, 6% in 2023, 6% out of every 1,000 were married. 8.2% in 2020. I'm getting my numbers all screwed up. It's just terrible.
This isn't like you
at all.
I'm getting my
numbers screwed up.
And you even wrote them down.
I know.
But I can't help you because I can't really see that far.
Let's forget about what I just said. And that's why we don't edit stuff out of this. Okay. But what I wanted to try to do is talk about the difference between living together and getting married. And I completely botched it because I couldn't read my handwriting either. So look, in 2000, 5% of people in a committed relationship lived together with their partner.
Okay.
14% people in a committed relation in the year 2000 were married.
Okay.
Now flash forward to 2023.
Yeah.
Okay. Twice as many couples in committed relationships in 2023, 23 years later, are living together. 7%, half of 2020, 7% of people in committed relationships are getting married. So marriage has been cut in half.
Okay, so that's why the divorce rate is lower, because people aren't getting married.
Well, there's fewer divorces. I'm not sure that's why that explains why the percentages are divorced.
People don't feel compelled to get married.
No, but there's two questions built in there. Mm-hmm. Okay, one, you're right. There's fewer people getting married. But so how does that explain, because it really doesn't, the percentage of marriages that end up in divorce are now lower, the percentage.
Right.
Okay. So before there was more people getting married.
Yeah, that maybe shouldn't have gotten married.
Okay. Well, that's where we're going.
Yeah. People that felt compelled, or maybe they felt like they, you know, were turning 25 and they had to get married or whatever. And people are feeling less compelled to get married and making better choices.
In theory, they're making better choices.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. We're going to talk more about the choices that people make. I'm saving that for another time because that's a very interesting discussion in terms of this generation and the choices that they make and whether they are better choices or not. But the fact is that people today are getting married later in life than they did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 70 years ago. You pick it. I mean, you go back to the early part of the 20th century, and the average age of a woman that got married was under 20.
Wow.
Well under 20, 17, 18, 19 years old. Mm-hmm. In many states, in some states, it was even lower than that when it wasn't illegal.
Right.
All right. So now, did those people have happy marriages? I don't know. We'd have to go back and look at the numbers. But the fact of the matter is that today in 2023, 2024, people are getting married later in life. Mm-hmm. You were how old when we got married?
I had just turned 22.
You were 22 and I was 25.
We were young.
We were young. Mm-hmm. We were young.
We were lucky that we grew together and not apart.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's other reasons because interestingly enough, you know, when you read some of this, people stay together for some wrong reasons.
Mm.
All right. One is
because they have cute hats.
Yeah. I like this hat.
I like the Nickel City hat.
This is, by the way, this is a cheap and unpaid for plug for one of my favorite bars in Austin, Texas. Well, my favorite bar in Austin, Texas, but one of my favorite bars on the planet, Nickel City. Great spot. If you're in Austin, you should go. Also in Fort Worth and Houston, by the way, now they got very free advertising, which I should never give away, but there you have it. So, people like what they have when they get married. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
right? Health insurance benefits that in many places you don't, it's harder to get if you're not married.
Tax benefits.
Tax write-offs. Mm-hmm. It's cheaper because you got two incomes paying for one household.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, although there's been a growth in what we call gray divorce amongst people that are older. Mm-hmm. You've seen that grow in the last 10 years or so. There's also a lot more people that are staying together because of benefits. Hmm. Retirement
okay.
accounts.
So they don't want to lose
Social Security. Mm-hmm. Don't want to lose those types of things. So you mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, the reasons. Mm-hmm. They're getting married for the right reasons, but they might be staying married for the wrong reasons.
Or they could be the right reasons, depending on how you look at it. I mean, you're thinking they're superficial or shallow, but maybe they're not.
Well, no, I think
it's convenience.
It's convenience. And you know, ideally in a world that we all probably wish we lived in, we would be in a relationship, in a marriage where there's love, where there's affection.
That's so sweet. That's what you want, honey? To be in a relationship with love and affection?
I'm trying to educate here, and you're making me go and send me off track. I can't even focus.
I'm sorry.
I started rubbing my arm. I can't even focus.
Oh, dear.
But no, we live in a world where that's important.
Yeah.
And it should be, as human beings, it should be important. And what you're seeing is, I think, that people who are staying together longer and not getting divorced, and there's a whole nother issue that I'll talk about in a second, you know, are staying together because financially it makes sense.
Yeah.
And
people stayed together for kids. That was probably more of older reason.
I'm not sure that's changed.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not sure that's changed. That is a big reason. And I think it'll always be a big reason.
Yes.
It'll always be a big reason. Another reason, frankly, is the pandemic. Mm. The pandemic had an effect. It's hard to know based on what I've read whether it's just a blip. This is a blip. In other words, so we're in 2023 when these surveys are done, and you're seeing these numbers change significantly. But I'm wondering if in 2028 we're still going to see these numbers, or are these numbers reflective not of all this stuff that we're talking about or that our dogs are barking about, but because the pandemic layered a whole different reality onto people's lives. I think it'll be interesting, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, if we get renewed for a fourth and fifth year.
Yeah, we can do it. We can do an update on that.
Yeah.
Well, this is interesting, honey.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you found it interesting. Yeah. Okay, so that's it. That's it for tonight. Talking divorce. Next time we'll figure something else out. Thanks again for joining us.
If you like our podcast, please subscribe.
Please subscribe.
We appreciate it. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell anybody that will listen. Conversations for Couples, the podcast. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram,
TikTok, LinkedIn,
and it's THEBULITTS. We are the Bullets. Thank you for listening to Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. We'll see you next time.
Good night.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.